Grant us so to hear Holy Scripture, read, mark, inwardly digest it, that we may find hope of everlasting life. We Episcopalians like to joke about being people of the book, winking that this means the Book of Common Prayer. But of course, we're people of the Bible, like Christians all around are. That is our book. As evidence of this, we only have to look in our Book of Common Prayer, to which we hold so tight, it is redolent with Scripture. In case we forget, though, our collect for today, found in the Book of Common Prayer, makes it abundantly clear what book we are talking about. It is a prayer asking God to grant us the ability or the fortitude or the desire. It doesn't specify what is needed or lacking. It just plainly says, grant us so to hear Holy Scripture, to read, mark it, inwardly digest it. The problem, of course, is that the Bible is not easy to digest. We need a good bit of study to understand it and to interpret its meaning. This morning, the scripture we read adds an additional element of difficulty. It puts us on an emotional roller coaster, or at least it seems to. Here's Isaiah telling of God's vision of creating a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem, over which there will be great rejoicing, with houses and vineyards where no more weeping will be heard, no newborn infants will die, when nothing shall be hurt or destroyed again on my holy mountain, God says. Then we fast forward to Jesus. He is at the temple in Jerusalem many years later. He sees the temple adorned with beautiful stones and packed with riches. The people are there admiring it. And Jesus tells them, as for these things that you will see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All of this will be thrown down. While Isaiah and Jesus seem to have two very different proclamations here, they're actually both speaking a prophetic message of hope. Isaiah is speaking to the people who've returned to Jerusalem after years of exile. These people see that their city, their temple, is in ruins. Isaiah tells them God has not forgotten them. Jerusalem will one day again be a glorious new city that will make Israel glad. Be faithful to God, Isaiah says, as God is faithful to you. God is a creator. God will create this anew. And the first hearers of Luke's gospel are actually in the same boat as Isaiah's listeners. Luke wrote his gospel around 85 CE, a common era. That's 15 years after the temple's destruction in 70 CE. The persons hearing Luke's gospel had witnessed just what Jesus said would happen, the temple's destruction. Their whole center of learning, business, trade, and religious life was in ruins. All of it was gone. But not only that, they had experienced intense persecution by the Romans, which left many of their friends and family, many, many Christians and Jews, died. It's hard for us to imagine the scale of this calamity for these people in the first century. It must have seemed like the end of the world. Luke's gospel gave this burgeoning group of Christians, Jesus followers, some good news. First of all, however, he speaks of what Jesus had to say, warning them about those false teachers that are to come. Jesus warns the listeners about those who shout, "The time is near. Do not go after them," he says. We know these crazy apocalyptic preachers who are teaching the world's end. We even have some of them in our day, standing on the street corner with signs saying, "The end is near," or "God hates you," or horrible, ridiculous things. These folks are sowing fear and trembling, trying to scare people into thinking they have some answer. I'm not sure what gospel they're reading or who is helping them interpret it. This is not Jesus' message. Jesus says the exact opposite. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, he says. Jesus' promise is not that horrible things won't happen. He is ultimately a truth teller. He says this world will have its wars, earthquakes, famines, hatreds. But we are not to fall into the trap of thinking that because things have gotten so bad, we have no reason to hope. Jesus teaches the hope of Isaiah, surely it is God who saves me. He teaches the hope written in the Psalms, where it's heard over and over, our hope is in the Lord. Jesus teaches that our hope, written in Scripture, reminds us that we have a faithful and ever-present God. Not a hair on your head will be touched. I've walked the streets of Jerusalem. It's a wholly different place than it was in the first century. Its walls have been rebuilt. You know, its walls have been breached countless times. The city has been burnt and rebuilt, fought over, destroyed, parts of it forgotten, and then found, and then rebuilt again. When I visited Jerusalem, I learned to identify the different building stages of all its old inhabitants by their embossing on the stonework. There were stones laid by the Crusaders, have little crosses in them. They were built on top of Constantine's walls, who rebuilt over Herod's stones. Yes, Herod, the king who ordered the killing of the infants in Jesus' day. He built over the walls of the temple that was rebuilt in Isaiah's time. This place is full of history and full of contradiction. During my stay there in the holy city, I was struck by the conflicting emotions I experienced walking these streets. On one hand, I wondered just why we fought. Why we still fight over these bricks and mortar, knowing Jesus' teaching against putting one's hope in the transitory things of this world. On the other hand, I could not imagine losing the sacred places where Christianity began, where Christians have trekked for thousands of years. I treasured being able to visit the site where Jesus was crucified, and walking through the glorious places of worship that were built there. There were other parts of contradiction for me as well, seeing very old men dressed in their Jewish European garb, the wool long coats, the tall wool hats. This was July, folks, and it was hot. They were holding the hands of their grandsons walking through the city. I couldn't help but be happy that they finally had a place after thousands of years of exile, a place to be safe. At the same time, I walked through the streets of Bethlehem, where the Prince of Peace was born, where there are horrifying, ugly walls built, etched with the graffiti telling the history of the families who lived there, whose homes were bulldozed, who've now raised generations of children in poverty in refugee camps. It's a place of confliction. I'd like to believe that my faith is not contingent upon all that is there in Jerusalem remaining in place, the gorgeous places of worship, the walls built upon walls, that none of our faith is built upon this. But we humans tend to give great weight to the grand things of this world. We certainly hang our hats on institutional success, and we may even hang our hopes there as well. Jesus cautions us to think differently, to think as the holy people of God. In this apocalyptic gospel lesson, Jesus tells us, the church, that in the midst of chaos, we are to testify, to proclaim to the world our belief that God is not committed to our particular world order or anyone else's, but to God's plan of salvation. In the mix of motions of our hearts, we are to speak the truth, to clarify the moral issues that are at stake in our world. In the strained tensions of our time, we are to be agents of change, to offer our ability to grasp and hold opposing views and allow God's creative spirit to be at work there, forging new ideas. Many years ago, an older friend of mine and I were discussing how life might have been, what it might have been like for the early Christians. We both agreed it must have been incredibly hard, recounting all the obstacles that had to be overcome. Then I went on, enumerating those challenges, being so worldly that I was at the age of 23, and saying, it is so much easier for us. We're not persecuted. We're not harassed for our faith now, or bullied for speaking the truth. Yes, it was so much harder to be a Christian back then than it is for us today. And then my older friend looked at me in a funny way and replied, not if you're doing it well. As people of the book, the holy people of God, the church, we have work to do, to find and speak and give the hope Christ gave us to all the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.